Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, September 13th, 2021. We are just 1 week away from the official start of the fall season. It's a season where the temperatures come down to that cool, comfortable, fall-like, tolerable, if you will, situation. But right now, we have Indian summer for a while, so it's nice because I still love the summer season. I'm a big fan of summer. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to spend some time on an issue with the women of Iran that they deal with on a daily basis. For those of you that follow the program, you understand that this program is dedicated to being a voice for the Iranian people. But specifically, I like to focus in on Iranian women. The last couple of broadcasts, I've talked about the oppression of women in Iran, especially the honor killings, the horrible tragedy of women who have parents, who have brothers, who have family members that kill them simply because they do something that they don't agree with, like getting married to someone other than a Muslim, or going out with a boyfriend that is not of the Islamic faith, or whatever the situation may be. Honor killing has become a major event in Iran, and it's so sad. I hate to even have to report on it. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to take us back to 2 years ago, to a nationwide, actually worldwide, internet tragedy that if you follow this program, you might be familiar with this. It's the tragic story of Sahar Khodayari. And basically her story is all about women's rights. It's all about the right of women to go in and watch a soccer game. We call it here in America, but it's football there. Women are not allowed to go into a stadium and sit alongside men and watch a football game. It's the segregation of the sexes. It's been that way since the revolution in 1979. So women have come up with a way that they can sneak in and enjoy the game. And most of the time they're successful. Sometimes they're not. They dress up as men. Makeup, they do it in such a way that if you saw a picture of them, a woman dressed up as a man, you really couldn't tell the difference. But a lot of times the security guards there at the stadium are able to recognize it. Today, I want to talk to you from my book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians, the story, the tragic story of Sahar Khodayari. Her story went viral all over the internet 2 years ago, and I thought on the anniversary of her death, that we can remember and recognize, which I call in my book, Sahar Kodiyori, Blue Girl, A Blazing Torch for Freedom. I want to read her story just as I wrote it. I want you to see in your mind's eye and feel in your emotions as I read it. I wrote it in such a way that you're right there with Sahar every step of the way. So in tribute to this brave, courageous girl, I'm going to read from my book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians, Blue Girl, A Blazing Torch for Freedom. A soft, cool breeze blew gently across Sahar's face. Spring was in the air. Nowruz, the Persian New Year, was just 9 days away, and a celebration was about to begin. However, today, Sahar had far more important things on her mind. Today was Tuesday, March 12, 2019, and Sahar was about to attend her first soccer match in Tehran. Her favorite soccer team, Eshtagal, was playing United Arab Emirates, and she couldn't wait to stand up with thousands of other young fans and loudly scream and cheer them on to victory. Sahar stopped a few hundred feet from the entrance to Azadi Stadium and watched a huge crowd of people hurrying inside, anxious to get their seats. She took a nervous, deep breath and then adjusted the blue wig covering the top of her head. Removing a mirror from the pocket of her gray overcoat, she carefully examined her face. Did she really look like a man? Had she removed all traces of makeup on her face? Would she get through security? Quickly shoving the mirror back into the pocket of her overcoat, Sahar took another deep breath. Beads of sweat coming from the wig trickled down her face. She nervously wiped the sweat away and continued walking, trying to blend in with the crowd in front of her. She had never done anything like this before. She had heard the stories of many women desperate to see a soccer match and dressing up like a man to sneak inside. Sahar gazed up at the sign hanging above the entrance that read, Azadi Stadium. She chuckled out loud to herself, Azadi Stadium? What kind of name for a stadium is that? Azadi in Persian means freedom. But that's a lie. There's no freedom for women in this stadium. They are forbidden. Ever since the revolution in 1979, when Iran was transformed from a secular state into an Islamic republic, men and women became segregated classes of people. Women could no longer hold government jobs and were forced to be veiled when going out publicly. Men became the dominant class, and women were reduced to second-class citizens. Even though it was not officially written into code, women could no longer attend stadium events alongside of men because of the discriminatory teachings of Sharia law. The government now ruled their lives from cradle to grave, and human rights and freedom, well, they no longer existed. Yet, that didn't stop Sahar. She was not afraid of what the government could do to her. Today, she was proudly wearing blue, the official team color, and she was determined to be the loudest cheering fan in the whole stadium. Attending a soccer game in Tehran was the absolute dream of her life, and nothing could stop her today. A smile beamed across her face as she neared the entrance. In her mind's eyes, she visualized herself standing way atop the stadium, gazing down at the playing field surrounded by thousands of fans, all of them men, cheering loudly into the air as Eshtagal scored their first goal of the game. Chills and goops bumped over Sahar's body as she saw herself having the greatest time of her life. Pulling her cell phone out of her pocket to show the security guard her ticket, Sahar once again took a deep breath and relaxed, arriving at the entrance. She presented her cell phone to the ticket patron when suddenly two security officers surrounded her. One of them reached on top of her head with his hand and pulled off her blue wig. Sahar dropped her cell phone in shock. Her heart began racing in her chest. You are not a man, The guard screamed back to Sahar, "You are an imposter. You are under arrest." In an instant, Sahar's world had been shattered. Her dream of attending her first ever soccer game was no longer a childlike reality, but now had been transformed into a horrible nightmare. Monday, September 2nd, had finally arrived. Sahar had dreaded this day for months, but realized she had to keep her court date or face more jail time. After finding out she had been arrested, Sahar's parents were extremely angry and reluctantly paid the expensive bail for her freedom. They were loyalists to the government and warned her to fully comply with the law or risk staying in jail forever. And they refused to bail her out for a second time. Sahar entered the court building and walked up to the front desk. A lady dressed in a full chador had covered her body and hair greeted her, asking her what her reason for coming was. When Sahar explained that she had been summoned to court, the lady politely informed her that the judge had postponed the case for family reasons and she was scheduled to return another day. The woman looked closely at her paperwork and then looked intently into her eyes. "You realize, ma'am, that your case is very serious. You are charged with going out publicly without a hijab and impersonating a man to attend a soccer game. If you are convicted, you will have to spend 6 months in jail and maybe even 2 years." The thought of being in prison for 6 months and caged like an animal was horrifying, was repulsive to Sahar. The woman's warning cut through her soul like the blade of a sharp knife. Sahar grabbed her chest in fear as anxiety pains just shot through her. She had heard the horror stories of women being raped and sexually assaulted by prison guards. She was well aware of the deplorable prison conditions where there was no medical assistance and no access to lawyers for many months. Sahar understood how women were treated like animals and sexual objects, and the thought of even spending one day in prison for the crime of being a woman in Iran was absolutely repulsive and unacceptable to her. Racing out the front door in fear, Sahar knew exactly what she had to do. There was no turning back. Living as a woman in Iran was no longer an option for her. Today would be her last day of living under fear and oppression. Her friends had urged her to just hang in there a little longer. Freedom and democracy would soon come to Iran. The daily protests in the streets and all over the cities were having a drastic effect on the government, her friends claimed. The government cannot last much longer under the pressure of sanctions and the violence in the streets. However, Sahar had lost all hope. Today had been the last crushing blow of despair that she could endure. She raced around the corner and arrived at a gas station. Purchasing a small container, she filled it full to the top with gasoline. The owner gave her a concerned look and decided instead not to interfere into her personal business. Sahar rounded the corner onto a busy side street filled with people walking to their early morning jobs. The loud noise of honking horns in the traffic-filled streets and the screaming voices of angry motorists didn't bother her like before. She had become deaf, maybe immune to the chaotic sounds of Tehran. The world had suddenly become dead to her. She had no feelings anymore. She was now totally numb and indifferent to life itself. Stopping in the middle of the sidewalk, Sahar took an angry, deep tear stream down her face. Her hand trembled as she unscrewed the cap off of the plastic container of gasoline. She closed her eyes, and at once she saw herself inside of Azadi Stadium, surrounded by thousands of happy, jubilant fans cheering on Esteghlal. For a brief moment, Sahar managed to smile. Right now at this moment, she was living the dream of a lifetime, visualizing the thrill of attending her very first soccer game. Yet the thrill was short-lived. It was all just a cruel nightmare that had died 6 months ago. There was nothing left to live for now. All hope had died on the day that she was arrested. Zahar knew being a woman in Iran was a hopeless and cruel existence, and she didn't want to be part of it anymore. Despair had sucked every last bit of life from out of her soul. Zahar raised the plastic container over her head and began saturating her body with gasoline. A few men on the street stopped and gazed with concern at her. As she lit the match, a young woman raced toward her, realizing what she was about to do. "Stop! Stop! Please!" But before the young woman could finish her sentence, Zahar touched her clothes with the match, and she was immediately engulfed in flames. Zahar had never in her life felt anything like this before. The scorching hot, burning pain paralyzed her entire body. She could barely utter a word. The pain and suffering was indescribable, and she didn't regret what she had done for a second. A young man raced toward her, but Zahar immediately warned him in a shrieking voice, "Leave me alone! I want to die! Leave me alone!" Zahar was rushed to a hospital in Tehran. Her whole body was covered with third-degree burns. 7 days later, on September 10th, 2019, Blue Girl died from her severe injuries. The tragic news of Zahar's death was heard all over the soccer world. There was outrage and sadness. Her favorite team, Estoril, held a moment of silence before their training session in memory and tribute to Blue Girl, affectionately called that because she dressed herself in the team colors. The Iranian soccer team issued a public statement that was recorded on video. "The tragic death of our beloved child, Miss Zahar Khodiari, has caused much sadness and regret for Estoril. We offer our condolences to you and your relatives." Thousands of sad supporters gathered in the very spot where Zahar committed self-immolation and held a candlelight vigil in prayer. There were hundreds of flowers laid at the site, and one handwritten note declared, "You won't be forgotten, Blue Girl." The FIFA, that is the International Governing Body for Football, outraged at Zahar's senseless death, publicly called on Iranian authorities to, quote, "ensure the freedom and safety of any woman engaged in the legitimate fight to enter the stadium banned for men for women in Iran." Amnesty International loudly spoke out against the unjust, tragic death of Zahar, condemning the oppressive rules against women in Iran. Quote, "Her only crime was being a woman in a country where women face discrimination that is entrenched in laws and plays out in the most horrific ways imaginable in every area of their lives, even in sports." Close quote. Thousands of Iranians took to Twitter tweeting their outrage with the hashtag Blue Girl. One such outrage tweet from Magdalena Eriksson, a soccer player for Chelsea's women's team in London. And here's the tweet. "Today our hearts bleed blue for Zahar Khodiari. Now it's time for everyone in Iran to be allowed to attend every football match together. Rest in peace, Blue Girl." World-renowned human rights activist Imadi Bakahi also took to Twitter in support of Zahar, declaring, "Tehran's Azadi Stadium should be renamed Zahar-e-Zati. For 40 years, we've called that stadium Azadi. Azadi means freedom, but there's nothing in common between the stadium and the real meaning of that world." On October 10th, 2019, caving into the international outrage and pressure from the FIFA, the government of Iran allowed women to purchase 3,500 tickets and attend the World Cup final against Cambodia. It was the first time in 40 years that women were allowed inside. However, this was nothing more than a publicity stunt. Damage control for the rebuilding of giving the watching world the impression that Iran was finally respecting women, when in reality, there was nothing in writing to lift the ban. It was all about image, and yet, for a few hours, it appeared that some measure of justice was finally given to the memory of Sahar. Rival Sons is a very popular American rock band that wrote a powerful song called Shooting Stars. The chorus of this song has a haunting and incredible melody that, although not intended to be a tribute to Sahar, yet it describes something very ominous of her courage and personality. Quote, "We move through the world like shooting stars across the sky, splitting through the darkness, putting the light into their eyes." In just a few verses, I can see the face of Sahar in everything that she stood for. She lived a very brief life and died at the young age of 29. She was like a shooting star. Here, for just a few moments in time, but those few moments forever changed the world. With courage and conviction, she set herself on fire and became a blazing torch for freedom. She bravely stood up to the darkness of oppression, and because of that, the world paused from their chaotic life and for a few brief moments listen to her message. Sahar was crying out in desperation, engulfed in the agonizing flames, putting the light into their eyes, as it says in the song. In the final moments of her life, Blue Gruel screamed loudly in her suffering, and she set the world on fire. She shouted freedom from a busy street in the middle of Tehran to tell the world that there is something terribly wrong and cruel going on in Iran. We must never forget this courageous woman who refused to keep silence about the gender apartheid in Iran. It was not just about a soccer game. It was about life itself. Blue Girl was a shooting star, and in an agonizing instant of flames engulfing her body, the blazing light of truth shined out from her whole being in protest against the cruel and unjust discrimination of Iranian women. On page 26 of my book, there is a photo. It's in black and white, and there is some men and women, I think soccer players, I don't know where, but across the banner it says, "Rest in peace, Sahar, football for all." From my book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. This should never have happened. At this time in the fall, all across the United States, men, women, boys, girls are flooding to the football stadiums. And you know, in recent years, during professional football games, we've had those football players that have taken a knee to our national anthem. Perceived racism and other problems in America, and they feel as though that this is their way of publicly calling attention to the sins of America. I'm not against people utilizing their First Amendment right and protesting. That's what their right is. But never during the national anthem do we ever dare to do that and dishonor the very military men and women who gave their lives for our freedom. But there's something deeper here. They are protesting the sins of America. Last time I looked, women could come to football games, come to sporting events. And I wonder if these same men who willingly kneel to criticize our country, I wonder if they know Sahar's story, if they understand that this woman set herself on fire in agony and despair and protest about a law that prevents women from being considered human beings and treated like second-class citizens. I wonder if they could still take a knee to the country that gives women, men, boys, and girls freedom to live out their dreams. You know, that's all that Sahar wanted to do. Listen, she just wanted to go to a football match in Tehran. But because of her gender, she was told, go home. You're not a human being. And she's treated that way. And because her spirit was so broken and she was not willing to be treated like a piece of meat in prison for the next 6 months to 2 years, she did something, I'm sure, in her mind's eye that she didn't want to do, but she had to do in desperation. As we go to our football games this year, I want us to remember Blue Girl. All she wanted was the freedom to walk in amongst yelling and screaming fans and feel the exhilaration and the excitement of rooting on her favorite team to victory. That is all she wanted. And she was denied that. When you go to a sporting event this fall, please remember the women of Iran who only want to be there with you. I want to shift our focus just a little bit right now to the tragedy that's unfolding in Afghanistan. And even though the military has gone, there are still American citizens. Many of the freedom fighters that fought with us, the Afghans, are there. Their lives are in danger. Women are in danger, and especially the underground church in Iran that is suffering. I want us to take just a couple of minutes to listen to this CBN special report on the situation of the Afghanistan underground church. Let's listen.
Yes, it is true. The Taliban are looking for people who have left Islam and who are now following Jesus. And so it's a desperate time for our brothers and sisters, and we need to stand in prayer with them and advocate for their situation.
John, the Taliban have always been doing that, looking for Christians or those who they consider apostates. What's different now? Are they actually dragging them from their homes and killing Christians? What's the truth there?
Well, the difference now is that they're in control. So in the past, if they were not completely in control, they were limited in what they could do. But you're right. Their agenda is directly against the advancement of God's kingdom. But in this case now, they've become the bully or they've become the powerhouse. And so yet, sadly, they're using and abusing that power that they have, and they are going house to house. And it's not just targeted against Christians. I mean, it's people that have helped for the, you know, with the American government, and just anyone that's different and not embracing Sharia law is under threat right now. But our main concern is for God's people there, that they would weather this storm and advance God's kingdom through the difficult challenges. They're like sheep among wolves, Gary. I know people are familiar with that film and that concept in Luke chapter 10, but that's really the image that describes what our brothers and sisters are facing right now in Afghanistan.
So John, if they are not being murdered right now, Christians are definitely under threat.
They are definitely under threat. Gary, it's very likely that some have already laid down their life. but yet at least in our main networks, thankfully, none of the main leaders have reported that yet, because many of them have fled to a different location, or they're in hiding, or they've moved, or we've helped them relocate. But yes, they are being hunted, they are being targeted, and it is a danger, extreme danger that they're in right now.
And John, one concern is if all of them leave, who will remain to be salt and light and share the gospel with Afghanistan? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Gary, so our heart is that some might be called to leave, and if they want to leave, we're trying to help them. But many feel called to stay. They know this is, you know, their home country, and now as citizens of God's kingdom, they want to be salt and light. They want to stay. Some are willing to embrace the suffering or persecution that might come, and we're going to trust that some of the second and third, fourth generation believers that are there will be able to weather the storm. Many of them are not so high profile, meaning it's the leaders that have been involved for many years that are far more publicly known. And so when you think second, third, fourth generation of believers or house church movements, some of them are under the radar. And we're trusting that God would give them grace to stay, and they would see the fulfillment of the Great Commission, the gospel spreading to every tribe and nation throughout Afghanistan.
And finally, quickly, John, how should we pray for them? What should we pray at this time?
Yeah, please pray. We know God's with them, but pray they would know that. They would know the goodness and the mercy of God, the voice of their good shepherd. He would be with them in the suffering. And if they do have to flee, that we and others could help them, different organizations that are involved. But let's pray for those that will stay, that they will remain true and faithful. And Gary, let's remind listeners to pray for the salvation of the Taliban. It's one of the largest unreached people groups, the Pashtun people. Let's pray. Surely God has highlighted his heart is for the nations and for the peoples of Afghanistan. Let's pray that this would further the advancement of God's kingdom, the spread of his gospel among the Pashtun people.
Okay, John Weaver, humanitarian relief worker, author of the book Inside Afghanistan, A Mission of Mercy to a War-Torn People Before 9/11 and Beyond. Thanks, John, for being with us.
That's a special report from CBN on the situation in Afghanistan with the underground church. They inspire me so much. They understand the cost of following Jesus in Afghanistan. I want to introduce to you a new friend of mine. She is a worship leader at her church, and she is also a dedicated flight attendant for a major airline. She was so touched by the dedication of the Christians in Afghanistan that she used her God-given talents to write a beautiful tribute to them. You're in for a surprise, a real treat right now. We need to make this song go viral. It's beautifully written with such depth of meaning. This is Crystal Fenney and a song called Dear Underground Church, right now on the cross in the desert. Let's listen.
It is well.
What a beautiful voice. Can we say that as Christians here in the West, that it is well with our soul? Can we say with assurance that we are willing to take a stand for Jesus, even at the cost of our lives? I think that Crystal Senny and her voice and her passion has spoken so highly of a group of courageous Christians in Afghanistan that are our example. Because here in the West, we really don't understand that level of suffering. And I believe that, Crystal, you have connected in a beautiful way by God's Spirit with these people, with these dedicated Christians. I'm going to be featuring this song on my page all day. Please share it. Make this song go viral for the reason of bringing attention to these. And this is a young, beautiful lady that was a flight attendant. Do you know she had a beautiful video about that event over the 9/11 remembrance, calling on us to remember the courageous flight attendants that perished in United 93, American 11 and 175, and 77. What a beautiful song. And it reminds me of what the Word of God says, the Apostle Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. You know, when the Taliban was knocking at their doors, they thought about their lives. They thought about their families, their children. They thought about dying. And they could say, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. The flame of the underground church will burn brightly. There's never crushed. They can say, we are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. It is an honor to die for Jesus. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God, because God says nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. This is the testimony of every Christian faithful to the call of Christ. I realize the news has a sin of what's called cycle. We've heard all about Afghanistan for the last several weeks, and now it seems everything is shifted from that to the vaccine mandate. Isn't it amazing, the politicizing of the news? That's why we can never forget the underground church. Simply because that may not be the biggest news item right now, we have not only a duty but a passion to give to organizations that help them. In my church a few weeks ago, Sheep Among Wolves, through Joel Richardson, he helps the underground church in the Middle East, and we as a church gave to that. We can do that. We can do whatever we can to help these Christians suffering and being martyred for their faith every day now. We cannot afford to forget the suffering church in the Middle East. And, of course, the number one thing that every one of these Christians asks organizations like Open Doors is tell them to pray for us. That is the very least we can do. We can pray. And prayer is effective. On my page, Praying for the Persecuted Church, there is a little item of a believer in Afghanistan that says, in essence, we hear and feel you're praying, and that's what keeps them going. That's what they say. That ought to encourage us that there is nothing too monumental in our busy day to ever say to us that we can't take aside a few minutes and remember the underground church in Afghanistan. And as you pray for them, please remember the most thriving, growing church in the world is really not in China. It's in Iran. The underground church in Iran daily needs our prayers. One way this can help you connect with them is to go to my page, Praying for the Persecuted Church. Just type it in your search bar in Facebook, Praying for the Persecuted Church. You'll come to this page. You'll see some hands knotted up in handcuffs, Praying for the Persecuted Church. Please scroll down the articles. I have stories from India, Afghanistan, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria. All parts of the world are represented there on my page. These are stories and ways you can help them and pray for them. Please go there, because this episode of The Cross in the Desert is going to be there in the next few minutes. And one other thing, please take this song from Crystal Cenny, Make It Viral. All she wants to do is bless this group of Christians with her talent and gift, and we want to make everyone on the internet aware of her song and aware of the underground church in Afghanistan. So I want to thank you again, Crystal, for permission to use this song today. I pray it goes viral. I pray that God mightily uses your talent and your gift to bless the suffering Afghanistan underground church. It has been a real honor to bring you the stories of Iran and Afghanistan today. Please don't forget Iranian women and pray for their freedom. They're under great oppression. Pray for the Afghan underground church. Next Monday, I will see you on the cross in the desert. I want you to have an incredibly good week, and I will see you then. God bless you.